This is the Daf Yomi Masechta review, Masechta Yevamos, tape number 5. This review is only meant for people who learn Daf Yomi on a regular basis or those who have learned through the Masechta. It is the goal of this review to be as accurate as possible in summarizing the highlights and key kolalim of the Masechta. However, it is possible that on occasion something will not be reflected correctly.
For subscription information, call us toll-free at 1-888-DAF-YOMI or write Daf Yomi Tapes, P.O. Box 831, Muncie, New York, 10952.
This tape is dedicated in memory of Harav Yehuda Aryeh ben Harav Yaakov Tuvia Halevi Heber, Zichrono Levracha. Our Magid Shir is Rabbi Yossi Heber.
This tape is in Masechtas Yevamos. We're holding on Daf Tzadik Dalad, Amud Aleph at the Mishnah. As background, we know in Perek HaIsha Rabbah, we had a case where a woman was left without a husband. Her husband disappeared somewhere. She doesn't know whether her husband died or not. So normally we would say that unless we have witnesses to testify to the fact that the husband was nifter, she would not be allowed to remarry, and she could sit for the rest of her life without being able to remarry because she could potentially still be married to that man if he is in fact alive. We know that the general rule by Arias is Ein Dabar Sheba'erva Pachas Mishnayim. You need two witnesses in anything that dealing with Arias in order for a testimony to actually be chal. However, when we're dealing with a woman who is alone, we have a little bit of a kula in the fact that we don't necessarily need two witnesses to determine the fact that the husband died, but rather as long as we have one witness, that would be sufficient. Because we say Mishum Iguna Hikilu Be Rabbanan. Since she could potentially be an Aguna for the rest of her life, she could sit without a husband for the rest of her life, we were makel and we said that she could rely on one aid, that her husband died, and therefore she could remarry based on the testimony of this one aid. The question here that we have in this Mishnah is what if it's the other way around? What if we have a husband who doesn't know whether his wife was nifter or not? Can we rely on one aid or not? So the Mishnah says, if someone's wife went overseas and one aid came and told him that she died, so then he now went and married his wife's sister. Normally his wife's sister is an erva, but given the fact that they have this testimony, he went and married his wife's sister. If the first wife turns out to be alive and she shows up, so now it ends up he's married to both of them, he can then go back and marry his first wife. The Beis Yosef says that Rashi indicates that one witness is sufficient to establish a wife's death, just as one witness is sufficient to establish a husband's death, as we learned in Perek HaIsha Rabbah on Daf Peches. The Rishonim, however, maintain that two witnesses are required to establish a wife's death before a man is permitted to marry his wife's sister. The Rebbe Yosef explains that the leniency of accepting a single witness, as we saw, is based on the concept of Mishum Iguna Hikilu Be'Rabbanan. They were lenient for the sake of a woman who was waiting in solitude by herself for evidence of her husband's whereabouts. He says that this concept of Iguna is not applicable here, since this man can marry any woman he wants. We know that a man can marry more than one wife. But here, all we're talking about is his wife's sister. So really, he can marry anybody he wants, he just can't marry his wife's sister. Therefore, we do not afford him the leniency of relying on a single witness. Presently, that we're under the cherem of Rabbeinu Gershom, against marrying more than one wife, the Paiskim discuss whether a man is permitted to marry a second wife based on a single witness attesting to his wife's death. The Beis Shmuel rules that a single witness is not enough. He says that he halachically presumes as being married, and is prohibited because of a cheskes isser until his wife's death is established by two witnesses. However, the Karban Asanel says that the concept of Mishum Iguna should apply. He says that if he cannot rely on a testimony of one witness, he may be restricted indefinitely from remarrying. Therefore, the same enactment permitting a woman to remarry upon the testimony of a single witness would apply to him as well. And the Gemara here says, there was a question if this Mishnah is like Rabbi Akiva or not. Moving on to Daf Tzadikei. If someone has relations with the sister of his wife, he doesn't become usher to his wife. However, there's a machlokes if one has relations with his mother-in-law, if he becomes usher to his wife. The Gemara says it's a machlokes between Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Yehuda, but we paskin like Rabbi Yosi, and there was a question about exactly what his shita was between Rav Ami and Rabbi Yitzchak. Daf Tzadik Vav. There was a question whether a Yavama is considered like an Eishes Ish or not. The next Mishnah. They told him that his wife died, so he went and married his wife's half-sister. They told her that she died too, so he married his sister, and so on and so forth. And they found out everyone was wrong. So he can go back to the unrelated wife's and the tzaris. A Yavam who is 9 years plus 1 day old, once he has Bia, it counts to passel her from marrying the other brothers. And the Gemara says, a 9-year-old can only passel if he did the Bia before the brothers did anything else, not if they did the Maisa. According to Reb Meir, a 9-year-old can not only make Chalais Yibam, but he can even give a get and Maimer to affect the circumstances. The next Mishnah. If a 9-year-old had relations with the Yavama, and then his 9-year-old brother also has Bia with her, it passels her because we say Yesh Maimer Acher Maimer. According to Reb Shimon, the second Bia means nothing. If a 9-year-old has Bia with his Yavama, and he then dies, so we say Chaletzis V'lei Misyabemes, since there's still some Zika from this 9-year-old. The Gemara says not only does the Bia of a 9-year-old have the din of Maimer, but even a young man who hasn't brought Shtei Saras up to the age of age 20, his Bia is also considered Maimer. If a katan or a shaita gets married and then dies, there is no din of Yibam regarding that marriage. The Gemara says there was a machlekes in the Beis Knesses in Tveria between Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Yossi regarding a certain beam that had the din of Keli in reference to carrying it on Shabbos. And the machlekes got so violent that a Sefer Torah was ripped. So Rabbi Yossi said, I'd be surprised if this shul doesn't eventually have Avodah Zarah in it, the Kachava. Later, it was affected by Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says in the same way that when Yehoshua said halachas, everyone knew it was from Moshe Rabbeinu, Mipir Moshe Rabbeinu, so too when Rabbi Elazar said over Torah, everyone knew it was from Rabbi Yechanan. That's Tzadik Zayin. Rabbi Yechanan said in the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, anytime they say over the words of a Talmud Chacham in this world, the lips of that Talmud Chacham move in his kever. It's like chias of that Talmud Chacham. And finally the Gemara says if someone doesn't bring simanim, we consider him a katan. But if he reaches the majority of his years, i.e. age 35, we call him a saras. In other words, we admit that he was born with this particular chasarn. This marks the end of this parak. Now let's begin the 11th parak, Nisin al Ha'anusa. Daf Tzadik Zayin. The Mishnah. Background. A person cannot marry the mother, sister, or daughter of his wife. And the Mishnah says, but he is allowed to one of these three if he married a woman via inus, through coercion, or mefuta, through persuasion, which aren't very strong marriages. And the Gemara says, nonetheless, the Rabbanan made a takana that in the case of Einus u'Mefata, one shouldn't marry the close relatives. A person is not allowed to marry the Anusa of his father. The next Mishnah. If a Giyaris was Miskayar together with her children, if one of these children dies, the other brother is Pater from Yibum and Chalitza, since the Zera of a Goy isn't considered Zera, so they're not really like brothers. And the Gemara says, in fact, according to Rav Acha, these brothers can marry each other's wives since the Zera of a guy isn't like Zera, or because we say, Ger Sheniskayar Kekotin Shenoilad Dami. And finally, the Gemara says, even if two brothers are twins, there's no Chalitza and no Yibam, unless the conception was Bikadusha, so they'll be considered real brothers. Daf Tzadik Ches. Goyim are not considered to be relatives to each other, so there's no din of She'er, lineage. Therefore, a Ger can marry the wife of his brother. If a Talmud Chacham tells you a halacha before a maisa happened, we listen to him. But if he says it after the maisa happens, we must be careful since the opinion might be biased. The Gemara says Hashem spoke to Yoina two different times about Nineveh until he finally acted. We know that this is the Haftarah we lay on Yom Kippur. If a ger has a child where the birth itself was Bikadusha, so there is a din of She'er through the mother, but not through the father. And finally, the Gemara says if someone's Jewish wife dies, the mother-in-law remains usher to marry. Next Mishnah. Five women each had a child, and the children get mixed up. We don't know whose kid is whose. The sons grew up, and then they died. So it's a suffix how and if you do Yibam. So each woman gets four chalitzas, then a Yibam. The Gemara says first you must do the chalitzas, then you do the Yibam. That's Tzadik Tes. Sometimes due to these types of sveikas, a man can have to do chalitza to his mother, sister, or daughter. And the Gemara says there is a case possible where someone can sell his father to allow his mother to collect a ksuva, i.e. if the father was an eved. This chiddush is like Reb Meir, that an eved has a din of metaltalin, and we can collect metaltalin for a ksuva. The next Mishnah. If a woman mixed up her son and her grandson, and then there is death of these two, so they do chalitza. If a kohenes had her son mixed up with the son of an eved, they can both eat truma, since they're either considered the son of a kohen or the son of an eved of a kohen, either which can eat truma. But both cannot become Tommy Mason, since one of them is a real Kayan. And the Gemara says, when they come to collect their portion of Truma, according to Rabbi Yehuda, they must come together, since you can't give Truma to an Eved, since people may think the fact that he gets Truma gives him the Yichus of a Kayan. According to Rabbi Yossi, the Eved can collect separately. The Gemara says there are 10 people who we don't give truma to at the site of the base Hagranos, at the site of the silo. This includes a Cheresh, Shaita the Kutton, an Androgynous, Tumtum, Eved, Isha, Orel, and an Orel is considered a person who didn't have a bris milah because two or three of his brothers died, a Tame, or a Kayan, who married an Isha who was Pasal. Instead, we just send a Truma to their houses, except, of course, for the case of a Tame and a Kayan who married a Pasal who don't get any Truma. Dafkuf. A woman doesn't get Truma at the silo either, because they may accidentally give it to her after she's divorced, if she's a Bas Yisrael, of course, now she can't eat Truma anymore, or because we're afraid of Yichud. The Gemara says when we distribute Maiser Ani, we give to the women first, because it's degrading to make the woman wait. However, when we deal with Din Torah, we deal with the men first, since a man has more mitzvahs to do, and he needs the time more. The Mishnah as background. We know if a woman gets divorced, she must wait 3 months before remarrying, so we can see if she has a child, we'll know if it was from the first husband or the second husband. And the Mishnah says, let's say she didn't wait, and she got married immediately, and she had a kid, and we don't know if this child is a Ben Tisha Lerishan or Ben Shiva Liachran. So if the Suffolk child dies, the other children can only do Chalitza, not Yibam, because it's a question of Eshazach Minaim. If the child is a Suffolk Ben Yisrael, or a Suffolk Ben Kayan to the second husband, then he can't make a Grusha or become Tameh, since he might be a Kayan. Finally, the Gemara says there are three women who we allow to be Mishtamesh B'maich, i.e. they can have Tashmish Hamita, utilizing the cloth in the Makam HaErva, to prevent them from becoming pregnant. Who are these three women? Number one, a Ketana. Number two, a pregnant woman. And number three, a Meinika, a nursing mother. These are all because of Sakana. If a girl is under the age of 11, she doesn't use a maich since it's not possible for her to become pregnant anyway. Daf Kof Aleph. This questionable child will not be chayav if he hits or curses his father, since it's a suffix if this man is actually his father or not. But if he hits both of them, both which could, one of two of which is surely his father, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, b'zachar zeh, he's pater, but b'vasachas, he's chayav. This marks the end of this parak. Now let's begin the 12th parak, mitzvahs chalitza. As background, we know that if a man refuses to take his sister-in-law and do yibam, then he does chalitza. And the Mishnah says, the mitzvah of chalitza, the ceremony itself, must be done in front of three dayanim, even if these three are just hedyotos. Ideally, a sandal should be used, but if they used a leather shoe, it's also kosher. But a chalitza that's done with a sack is a chalitza psula. And the Gemara says, you don't need three members of a bezdin, but you just need three people who know how to read Hebrew, even if they're just hedyotos. The Ramah says, today we take Talmidei Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda says here that you need five people, actually, to witness the Chalitza. Rabbi Yosef said, just like all members of a Bezdin must be pure, they have to be free from all blemishes, i.e. a Dayan cannot be blind, so if the people needed for Chalitza must be members of a Bezdin, you couldn't use a blind person to as a witness for the Chalitza. The Gemara says the Dayanim must see the saliva mamish come out of the chalutza's mouth, not just that they see the saliva already in the shoe. The Gemara says any bezdin used for chalitza must be only a bezdin of Yisraelim, not Gerim. And after the act of chalitza, all of those assembled say chalutz hanoal. The Hilchasa, the Gemara says, for chalitza we need three Dayanim for chalitza, since it's a stam mishnah, and the only bar plukta, Rabbi Yehuda, brought other cases also, proving that he was maida by this case of chalitza, that three is okay. This is particularly brought down in Masechta Sanhedrin, where he brings down a number of psaks, including Egla Arufa. The Gemara says in advance of the chalitza, the night before, the Bezdin determines the specific place that the chalitza will take place. And finally, the Gemara says, although you only need three dayanim lahalacha for chalitza, they used to use five anyway, so the word would spread very well that she is mutares lishuk. It's called pirsume milsa. However, these extra two should sit separate from the three basic people who are part of the Bezdin. Daf Kuf Beis. Although a ger can't be part of a regular Bezdin, but he can be part of a Bezdin to judge another ger. The Gemara says the minig of the world is to use a sandal for chalitza, not a shoe that has a full shell. Since the woman must take off an item directly from the foot of the man, i.e. a sandal, which is called me'al raglav, you shouldn't use a shoe that has laces, which is really a regular shoe, because then what she's doing is she's taking off me'al de me'al. She's not just taking off from on top of the foot, from what's on top of the foot, mamish, with the laces. First you untie the laces, that's on top of the me'al. A yavama becomes muteris l'shuk at the moment she takes off the shoe from the yavam's foot, and most of the foot becomes exposed. Let's say the buckles were already untied, or he removed most of the shoe, then the chalitza is psula. What if instead of removing the shoe, she ripped it off, or she burned the leather off? Then we say teiko. If a person wears two pairs of shoes, and she removes the top shoe, chalitza is no good, since she removed the me'al de me'al from the foot, not the me'al of the foot. In fact, Rabbi Yehuda used to wear multiple pairs of rubbers to the marketplace, so we see that there were people who wore multiple shoes. The Gemara says both people must have kavana for the chalitza, or the chalitza is not good. And a sandal that was made with some linen cannot be used for chalitza. It must be 100% leather. But if there is some goat's hair in the straps of the sandal, then the chalitza is okay. A poor person, because he suffered so much in this world, this poor person will be moved quickly from Gehenim later on in Olam Haba. And tzaddikim will also be moved quickly from Gehenim. A stocking is also not considered a shoe for the purpose of chalitza. And finally, the Gemara says it is usher to walk into the Azara of the Beis HaMikdash with shoes, and it is usher to wear shoes on Yom Kippur. In fact, even leather stockings on Yom Kippur are usher. According to Remeir, a kiteya, a crippled person, is allowed to go out with an artificial foot on Shabbos into a Rishus Harabim. This is a Kav HaKiteya. But according to Rabbi Yossi, he cannot. Interesting to point out that in Masechtas Yuma, Daf Ayin Tes, Rabbi Yossi is Maida that this is Mutter. And in fact, he can give a Chalitza also. According to Rava, the key ingredient needed for a good Chalitza is an item that protects the foot, not just something that covers it. According to Rav Meimar, before she removes the shoe, he must press the shoe against the ground, so she'll have to make an extra effort to remove it. Also, according to Rav Meimar, an amputee cannot give a chalitza. It's interesting to point out here that it's a machlekes rishainim if an amputee, someone who has no foot, can give chalitza. According to Rashi, he can, but according to other rishainim, which is how we paskin, he cannot. The Gemara says that Ya'el seduced Sisra, who was the enemy of Klal Yisrael, to have relations with her 7 times in one day, and then she went and killed him. The question is, we know that she was a very big tzaddikus, but how can we praise her if she had such an evil pleasure with such a Rasha like Sisra? The Gemara answers from Ibn Shimon Bar Yochai that a favor from a Rasha is viewed as bad in the eyes of tzaddikim. The Gemara says when the snake came to Chava, he put Zayama into her. Zayama is an impure tumah. And Sisra also put Zayama into Yael. L'chatchila, it's best to use your own shoe for chalitza, but b'diavad, it's okay if it belongs to someone else, as long as it basically fits him. But if it's too large or small, then the chalitza is pasul. The Gemara says the right shoe is the best one to use, l'chatchila, but b'diavad, the left shoe is also okay. One should not use a sandal for chalitza that has tzaras in it, even if it's at the beginning stages of the tzaras. We know that the beginning stages of tzaras, before we're sure, it's called a tzaras musker, but later on, when we're 100% sure of it, it's tzaras, and it's called tzaras mukhlat. The Gemara says a cloth that is at least 3x3 tefachim can be mekabel tuma and can be metama other things. Rava says, v'hilchasa, that both a chalitza shoe, which has tzaras musker, mukhlat, or if it was used for the foot of an avodah zarah, should not be used l'chatchila for chalitza. But b'diavad, it's okay. If, however, it was used for mamish avodah zarah, or for an ir hanidachas, or if the shoe was set aside for tachriche hameis, then even b'diavad, it's no good for chalitza. Daf kuf dalet, the Mishnah. L'chatchila, a chalitza should be done by day. If it was done at night, then it's okay also. Rabbi Lozer says it's no good if it was done at night. Chalitza should be done with the right shoe. If it's done with the left shoe, then it's no good. Rabbi Lozer says that is okay. And the Gemara says, if after doing chalitza we find out that one of the dayanim was a karav or a pasul, so the chalitza is pasul. But Reb Shimon, Reb Yechanan Sandler say that it's okay, because even two witnesses are also fine for the chalitza. The Gemara says the limud of right foot for chalitza is learned from Marzeya of an Eved in the fact that we pierce his right ear. It's interesting to point out that a lefty, a person who's a lefty, what does he do about chalitza? It's a machlekes rishainim, which foot we use. Ayin and Eben HaEzer, Simen, Kuf Samaches, Sif Chofhe. The next Mishnah, as background. The chalitza includes taking off the shoe, number one, spitting into the shoe, number two, and number three, reciting certain psukim. And the Mishnah says, if she made number two, in other words, she took off the shoe and she spit into the shoe, but she did not know number three, she did not recite the psukim, the chalitza is kosher. But if she did number two and three, but she did not do number one, she did not take off the shoe, then it's pasul. If she did one and three, but she did not do number two, she didn't spit into the shoe, Rabbi Eliezer says it's pasul. Rabbi Akiva says it's kosher. Also, just as a Yavam must be an adult over the age of Bar Mitzvah, so too a Yavama, the woman, must be an adult. The Mishnah continues that if one of the three Dayanim was found out to be a Karev or a Pasal, the Chalitza is Pasal. But according to Reb Shimon, Rabbi Yechanan and Sandler, we say that it's Kosher, since according to them, you don't need any Dayanim. Therefore, we Paskin, we need three. But according to them, well, you don't need any Dayanim. If one of them is Karev or Pasal, it doesn't really matter, because we didn't need the three anyway. And the Gemara says, if one of the two people, the Yavam or the Yavama, is a mute and cannot speak, the Chalitza is invalid, since they're Lav B'nei Kriya. But if they just hurt their mouths and they temporarily cannot speak in that moment, then the Chalitza is good as long as they do Chalitza and the spitting, i.e. what we said in the Mishnah. This is similar to the Gemara Menachos that we say according to Reb Zera, Kol Sharoi Labila Ein Bila Ma'akevis. If a carbon has the capability in of itself of being mixed with flour and oil together, but just for that moment you didn't have the flour and the oil, then if you didn't mix them up, then it's not ma'akev. However, kol she'ena roi labila, bila ma'akevis. If it's a situation where it's not roi to mix the two together, then the bila, the fact that you didn't mix it, is ma'akev, and the carbon is not good. Same thing here. If it has the lechatchila capability to be done, you just didn't do it, then it's okay. But if they couldn't speak at all, they were never able to speak at all, then it's similar to a case of ena roi labila, then it's ma'akev. The Gemara says if a Yavama only spat in front of Bezdin and did nothing else, she becomes disqualified from making Yibam with any of the other brothers. But she's not completely in a situation of Chalitza, so she still has to come back and make a new Chalitza in order for her to be Muteres Lishuk. A Karban is only Kosher if it has both the Shechita and the Zrika, which are done Lishma. Daf Kufei. Rekika by itself, without anything else, while it won't make her Muteres Lishuk, will make her Asura Liyavam to all the other brothers. Because we say, Kivin Shalei Bana, Shuv Lo Yivne. Levi was once sent by Rebbe to be a Rav in a village, and numerous shilas came up, which were eventually answered back in the Beis Medrash. One shila was, if a woman has no hand, then they paskind, so she's allowed to untie the shoes with her teeth. And the second shila was, if she spits blood instead of saliva, we say that the Chalitza is Kosher. Rabba, the Gemara says, who was Isaac in Torah, lived until age 40. Abaye, who was Isaac in both Torah and Gemilas Chasadim, lived until age 60. What's the big chiddush here? We say that both of them needed a special kapara, because they are both from the family of the Beis Eli. This entire family had been cursed that all people from the Beis Eli would die at the age of 18, because these Kehanim, which were part of that group, were mevatel many opportunities of the mitzvah of Pir Yerivya in the Beis HaMikdash, because they delayed the Karban Yeladais for women who came to the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, since Rabba and Abaya were both from the Beis Eli, they should have died when they were age 18, but because they had these special schusim, they died at a much later age. The Gemara says we know that a decree against an entire community can easily become batal via Tfila B'tzibar, but a gzera against the Yachid can only be mispal b'yachidus during the Aseres Yimei Tshuva. That's the time that he could be mispal for that, because we have the pasuk of Dirshu Hashem b'yimatzai, which says that during the Aseres Yimei Tshuva, a person has the special ability to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara says everyone agrees that a Yavama must be over the age of Bar Mitzvah, but the Yavama, the woman, that's a machlaikis, if a katana is kosher. Rabbi Yossi says she is kosher, but the Hilchasa, we paskin that she is not kosher. A person who is mispal after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, he should put his eyes toward the Makam HaMikdash, since the Shekhinah always rests there. One man, the other, says, no, it's not that you go in that direction, but rather you direct your Kavana toward Shamayim. Rabbi Yossi says the way to do it is to put your eyes towards the Beis HaMikdash, but your heart towards Shamayim. This is, in fact, what we do. Avdon became a Metzera because he had a lack of Derech Eretz for Rabbi Yishmael in front of many Talmidim in the Beis Medrash. We paskin that we need a Bezdin of three in order to do Chalitza, but the minig is to have five people actually present. Daf Kufvav. Chalitza, which was done under a false assumption or without kavana from both parties, is a Chalitza psula. The Gemara says it's usur to attach a tnai to a Chalitza. If it was put on, tnai was put on, the Chalitza will be chal anyways. The Gemara says when someone is mechuyev to do something for free and he doesn't want to, you're allowed to promise him a large payment, and then when he actually does the favor for you, you don't have to pay him the money. Because you could say, Mishata Anibach, I fooled you. As we learned from the case of the innocent man who was just released from jail, so now he has to get across the river to get out of the jail. So the ferry driver technically is Mechuyev to take him over for a very, very low price. But he didn't want to take him. So the Gemara relates the story that he fooled the ferry driver, said, I would pay you a large sum of money, and I would pay you a high fare. And then when he got across, he said, Mishata Anibach, I fooled you, and therefore I don't have to pay you the high fare. The Gemara says Abaye's father and mother died when he was a young child. And the Gemara says if a condition is attached to a get and it isn't fulfilled, then the get is not chal. Mashen ken a chalitza is chal. However, a forced chalitza is not chal, but a forced get is chal. According to Reb Huna, chalitza or yivam can take place even if the bezdin doesn't personally know the yavam, the Mishnah. The process of chalitza is as follows. The yavam and yavama come to the city of the yavam, and the bezdin advises them which to do. Should they do yavama or chalitza? For example, if there's a major age difference, then they advise against him doing yivam, but rather they advise him to do chalitza. If they decide on chalitza, then she reads from the psukim, and he says, I don't want to take her. Both people must speak in Lashon HaKadosh. Then she removes the shoe from his foot, and she spits into the shoe. The Dayanim must see both of these procedures, taking off the shoe and spitting into the shoe. Then she says, Kocha ye'asa le'ish asher lo'i yivne. And the Gemara says, the order of the mitzvah is chalitza. First you do the kriya, then you do chalitzas hanoal, then rekika, then the kriya. But the b'di'evid, this order doesn't have to be perfectly followed. We pass like Mar Zutra, that the entire parsha of chalitza from the Torah should be written down. And the Gemara says if she spit and the wind blew it away before it hit the ground, the chalitza is not chal since it says v'funav. At the end of the chalitza, Reb Tarfon said to all the people present that they all should say chalutz hanal 3 times, i.e. because whenever a public statement proclamation is made, we say that proclamation 3 times. This marks the end of this parak. Now let's begin parak Yud Gimel, Beis Shammai, Daf Kuf Zayin, the Mishnah. Beis Shammai says that Miyun can only be done if Erusin took place. We know that Miyun is a declaration that this young girl, who was married before she was the age of Bas Mitzvah, now there's a declaration made that this young girl doesn't want this marriage that was made to be Chal, so she gets a get. According to Beis Hillel, Miyun can even take place if Nisuin took place originally. But according to Beis Shammai, Miyun can only apply by her husband, in his presence, and only once. But according to Beis Hillel, it can even be done by a Yavam, away from him, and away from Bezdin, and it can be done multiple times. And the Gemara says, according to Beis Shammai, there is no Miyun by a Nisua, since people would think a Tanai is good by Nisuin. But according to Beis Hillel, Miyun can only push aside a Maimer, but not a Zika. Rav says, if a woman did Miyun to one Yavam, she becomes usher to all the other brothers for Yivam. According to Shmuel, she's mutter to the other brothers. According to Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, we need to do Miyun in front of 3 people. But according to Rabbi Yossi, we need to do it only in front of 2 people. The next Mishnah. What kind of case is it that a Ketana marries and then requires Miyun, formal refusal after she is 12 years old, to release her from the marriage? The Mishnah answers, if her mother or brother married her off with her consent, this is considered a Kedushin Dirabanan, and if it was done without her consent, however, she doesn't need Miyun at all, since the first Kedushin isn't even Chal. There was never her consent at all. And the Gemara says, at first, they wrote a long get for Miyun, but then they shortened the Nusach, since they didn't want to mix this kind of a get up with the normal type of get. Taf Kuf Ches. To perform Miyun, all she needs to say is, I don't want him for a husband. Other formalities are not needed. Also, if she declared nothing, but just simply married someone else, then it's an automatic Miyun to the first husband. Rabbi Eliezer says that a marriage of a Ketana is like nothing, i.e., he gets none of her property, he can't be metame for her, etc. But she just simply needs Miyun. According to Rabbi Yeshua, she is like a wife, but Miyun will help to be mevatel the marriage.